Welcome to Life Turned On, where we share and celebrate the stories of sexual self-discovery in midlife and beyond. Society tells us women's sexuality ends once she reaches a certain age, her body changes, or even when she reaches certain milestones such as motherhood or menopause. They want to turn us off, but we are committed to living life turned on, full of pleasure, deep joy, and an authentic expression of self. Listen in as we share stories of women who are ditching old scripts to pursue their own path to pleasure in their lives and their sexuality. I'm your host, Shauna Stewart, and I want you to get ready for honest conversations, practical advice, and inspiration along the way. Because here at Life Turned On, we believe that pleasure is our birthright and the time to claim it is now. Happy hump day and welcome to Life Turned On, stories of sexual self-discovery in midlife and beyond. Today, we have a very special guest, Adriana D'Amelio. She was one of my very first friends in sexual wellness. She's also a registered nurse practitioner, but I did just want to make a quick disclaimer before our episode starts that nothing that she says is, should be considered medical advice. She's talking about her own experience, and if you have a situation where you need help, we highly recommend talking with a medical professional. All right, let's get to the show. So Adriana D'Amelio, in addition to being one of my best, my sexual wellness besties, is a board certified women's health nurse practitioner and aesthetic injector based in Lady Lake, Florida. With a passion for sexual wellness and rejuvenation, she has dedicated her career to the aesthetic medicine specialty. Beyond her professional endeavors, Adriana is a self-proclaimed foodie and wannabe sommelier. She also loves all things home design and decor, so I need her to come fix my house. She believes in forever learning, valuing authenticity and mentorship, both professionally and personally. She's a firm believer that we can learn so much from our fellow humans if we just learn to listen with empathy and compassion, and she strives to spread the message throughout her community and family. She is in a loving marriage of 10 and a half years with her husband, Andrew, who is currently serving as a JAG officer in the U.S. Army. And they have a rowdy group of three human boys and two doggy boys. Adriana, I'm so glad you're here. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know?
Just listening. Lots of masculine energy everywhere in my life. Yeah.
Well, when you and I met, we were both, and we're still in the grand scope of things, are still fairly new to the sexual wellness industry, but we were even newer when we first met. Yeah. And I'm wondering just like what inspired you to get into the field of sexual wellness or have that be more of a focus in your profession?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because for a long time, you know, I was surrounded by women from the time I joined the military. You know, I thought my career was going to go a totally different way, or I wanted it to be a totally different way, where I was thinking I was going to be a nurse in trauma and doing like intensive care types of things. And the Army doesn't really care what you want to do. They say they put you where they need you. And they put me into the world of postpartum. And I've never had kids at the time. I wasn't married. I didn't understand this moment in life. And I think just from that time moving forward, it kind of opened my, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like my third eye to what's to come, possibly, or what's going to be expected of me possibly. And it was all very scary, but also very exciting at the same time, because it was just things that I never grew up really hearing about or experiencing. So that was kind of like the first introduction. And then fast forward to when I experienced it myself, and it kind of changed the way that I felt about my body and like wanting to be touched and how I viewed myself sexually. And it just kind of evolved from there. I don't think I knew it was a career path I wanted until I went back to school for my women's health nurse practitioner. And then women were coming to me with these issues of, you know, I don't want to have sex, or I don't have desire. I feel like my libido is low, or, you know, it's painful, or, you know, how long is this going to be like this? And then it all kind of clicked at that moment when I was like, oh my gosh, I felt that too. So it's kind of funny when I think about it, I'm like, how did it take me that long? I just kind of, and I think this is what we do as women, is I just kind of ignored it when it was happening to myself. And then when it was a time where somebody else was coming to me and needing help or pleading, like, what's going on? I instantly went into action mode of like, I have to help this other person. And it all just kind of came together. Like, well, why didn't I feel like I needed to help myself? And how much do we neglect ourselves? And, you know, if I would have had somebody that I felt comfortable to go to, could I have saved, you know, a few years of agony and, you know, depression and just all those things that come when you feel like there's something wrong with you?
It's easier to advocate for others than for ourselves. And it's a wild little paradigm. Could you talk to us a little bit more about like what was going on for you personally that maybe you kind of like pushed to the side a little bit for a period of time? What was your experience?
The moment in time where I think about where I even thought about sex in a way that was maybe like my enlightenment or whatever, was the moment in time where I thought I was never going to have it again. I had my first son, and he was a little bit of a difficult labor. I had him vaginally, and everything was fine. He was born, everything was great, but my healing after was not normal. I was in a lot of pain after, and I, you know, I had a laceration. So it was just very painful to do all things that you need to do with your pelvic floor, sex being one of those things. I didn't really understand how that it was a problem or that it needed to be fixed, as far as like, or I guess I didn't understand that there was a way to fix it. I kind of thought, well, crap, I'm broken. And that's kind of the feedback I was getting too, which is interesting because I was in a world where this was my career. These were the people, and I love them all dearly, and not to disparage, but it just goes to show that it took a while for me to find somebody who would listen to me a little more than just, oh, well, it was your first baby. This is to be expected. You just have to, you know, drink a bottle of wine and things will loosen up and, you know, get in the head, you know, your head space is wrong. And it was like, no, like there's something physically happening and it needs to be repaired. But I didn't know that until I came across somebody who was a vulvar specialist, actually. And that was very helpful. And when I was having this conversation with this other individual who was a doctor and a surgeon, she kind of helped me find that to be like, no, this can be repaired and this can be fixed. And it just totally blew my mind of like, I was really depressed after that. I was thinking, okay, I'm never going to be able to have intercourse again, which is my choice of pleasure when I'm with my partner. And that was something that was really devastating to me. And it started to make me feel very insecure in our marriage. I mean, we were only married for like a year and a half. I had thoughts of, you know, he's going to leave me. He's going to get bored of this. I'm not going to be able to, you know, again, thinking about somebody else, but really also in the back of my mind, probably somewhere, was like, this is what I like. I don't want to do anything else right now. I'm just discovering like, you know, different ways that can have pleasure. And so anyways, that was probably the moment where it was the first time that it felt threatened to me, is when it felt important to me. Because before it was just almost like a entitled a little bit, you know, you don't think about it as you're growing up. You just kind of think like, yeah, I'll always have sex. And it was the first time that I was like, this isn't something that people get to enjoy for the rest of their lives. And at 26, that was huge. That was heavy.
Yeah, that's pretty young. And it is something easy to take for granted. I always think about like, you know, when you scratch your pinky or something and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I use that pinky all the time. Like, what am I going to do without my pinky? But being able to like, because like what I heard you say too is it has potential to impact your most intimate relationships and how you're connecting with your husband and how you're experiencing pleasure, and being able to get to a point where you're honoring all of those things enough to be able to speak up and ask the questions, or at least like, fortunately, it sounds like you had somebody who really recognize that in yourself. I was reading a study the other day that 1 in 5 women experience pain during intercourse, and it's they see it as being something that is normal and something that they have to deal with. And I guess, like, I'm wondering, what would you say to both as a professional and as somebody who experienced that? Is it something that women should just endure? Is it just part of life? Or is it something that can be helped? Is there hope?
Yes, I do. I think that there is hope. I think it is, we have to be able to take ownership of too. And we can't if we're not educated on that. And so, you know, there's that piece where as a healthcare provider, that's kind of my job is to give people an idea of everything that can be done. And I just feel like there's so many things, even sexually or not sexually, in the world that we don't even know we're capable of helping or fixing or that can go wrong. And so I think that there needs to be a lot more awareness out there so that people can start to associate themselves like, oh, I've heard of that, and they can be seen basically, so they know. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just like making awareness. And I think that is the healthcare profession's job to do that. And then I think too, just as a person on a personal level, we have to own that pain too. We have to own the things that we're going through and be able to get vulnerable. And that's like so easy to say, you know, when we're talking about it on a podcast, but in life, getting vulnerable is usually the first step. And I think that was something that has always been a gift, I feel like, that I've had. I don't know where that came from. Maybe it's like I always call it like my oldest sibling superpower is just that like extreme like vulnerability or sensitivity, or, you know, maybe I'm a Pisces. I don't know. But I do feel like if I could give that to people, I feel like it always changes my circumstances when I'm able to say, hey, I'm just trying here. And this is where I'm at, and I need help, and I need to, you know, talk about what I'm going through, and, you know, finding that safe space to do that in, but knowing that you can do that too. I think a lot of, especially women, have a hard time getting to that place.
So what eventually helped you get out of pain and into pleasure?
Yeah. When I spoke to that doctor, we set a date to have a surgery, and she did like a vaginoplasty. So she just repaired the wound that I already had that it didn't heal well. And once I let that heal, I just began to slowly use it again, I guess. it's not that we dove right in, because there was a piece where, you know, I always say your vagina talks to your brain and your brain talks to your vagina. And so that was something that I kind of had to work through. So there was a lot of exploring. My husband, again, being vulnerable in that space with him, he was a very, very great helper and partner, and he came to those appointments with me, so he was able to get educated and hear, and it took a lot of pressure off of him too. And so I think we were just in a very fortunate place to be to meet somebody who had experience in walking us through that. It's funny, because after my follow-up appointments, I think it was maybe like 2 or 3 months until I saw her again. And she was like, how is everything? Is everything healed? And I'm like, well, I'm pregnant again. So I think you fixed me.
That's funny.
But so I think that was just the first part of trying to rediscover. And I was still very much in a stage of like reproductive minded. And we knew we wanted to continue to build our family. I think there's a part two that's kind of happening now as we speak of just discovering pleasure. And now that my kids are older and my husband and I have a little more time to ourselves that we can kind of have these conversations and explore, you know, you kind of were somebody who helped us kind of go further along on this journey of, you know, connecting again, your brain to your vagina to your brain, and vice versa, of finding other ways to get that pleasure, to sink into that pleasure when life is so busy. So then the barrier becomes like working, yeah, and being a mom and like the school activities and, you know, all of that. And so slowing down, like Linger says. But so I think that was another, and it still is kind of like I'm in that moment of being very mindful about, okay, things are getting like, we got to hit the pause button. Things are getting a little bit too much now. Let's go back and retrace our steps. How do we get back to this place of pleasure?
Yeah. Well, and I can imagine when you were at that kind of crossroads where you're just like, oh, I might not ever have intercourse or sex again in the way that I have known it to be, having that almost like taken away. How much more does pleasure mean for you now? And kind of like, what role does it play in your life and in your relationship?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's huge. It's like such a privilege and something that I almost treat it like as before. I think you said it even better than I did, where it's like, I almost took it for, or I did take it for granted. And now I do look at it like, oh no, I'm holding on to this because I came so close to losing it. And so this is something that I protect, and I'm not going to let anybody kind of, and I'm getting there. I think, like you said, we're both still kind of new in this, like being able to speak out on it, but I don't want to let anybody, I think Shauna always says, yuck my yum, or, you know, get into a space of making you feel bad or prioritizing yourself. I am very quick to protect that space. And when I think there's times, you know, like before, I would feel bad about asking, like getting a babysitter or, you know, taking the time, putting the kids to bed early because I just wanted that extra like 30 minutes or an hour or whatever to do whatever for myself or, you know, with me and my husband. I don't feel bad about that anymore. And I'm actively making that happen. Like, No, this is going to be a part of my routine. And so I think just protecting it more because I see how easy it is to lose it. And I think in the younger part of me, my younger years, I'm still very young, but when you don't know it's something you could lose, you don't take that step forward in mindfulness, you know? And now that you know, now that I know it's something I could lose, I carve it out as a little piece that I protect.
All right. So as you've been working on prioritizing and protecting your pleasure, what kinds of things have been most helpful to you as a individual, but also in your relationship as well?
I think for me, and I don't know if this is an audience or, but this is kind of where my mind goes, is educating myself. Like when I say educating, I think listening to a podcast too. I don't think it needs to be like, oh, I'm only going back to school. But I think that opened the door because I feel, again, like you don't know, if you don't have the awareness that something exists, you just don't know that it's something that you can change or enhance or make better. And so I think education is always going to be a number one like answer for me because it's just opened my eyes to like what I need to be aware about. Mm.
As you've been pursuing pleasure, have there been challenges in addition to, like, of course, being a mom and having kids and a job and a big life and just the scheduling factor, but have there been challenges in the pursuit of pleasure that have surprised you or you've kind of had to overcome either in your own body, in your own self, and or with your relationship?
Well, I think anytime you're partnered, it's a great thing, but it could also be a barrier because there is that piece of, you know, you want to, and I'm again, still massaging this out, but I'm getting to a place where I want to be able to freely share, but then, you know, you worry about how somebody's going to take that and if they take it personally or if they take it a wrong way. And so I don't want to necessarily say being partnered is a barrier, but it is something that I find it's a little bit of a detour sometimes and some things that maybe I'm ready to talk about or ready to try or ready to experience. And if dealing with the feelings of if I'm met with resistance on that from point of view.
Yeah. What is kind of in your own like sexual journey, what were some of the ideas or stigmas you had to overcome to kind of move forward in your journey of pleasure?
I think I go straight to like the more relationship piece of my life of overcoming certain stigmas that I had about men in general, trust issues that I came into my relationship with my husband with that to me felt totally normal at the time. I don't know culturally or whatever life experience, it just led me to a place where you just don't trust men. And it made it a little hard for him because, you know, Andrew, but if anybody ever meets him, he is an actual saint. But I always tell him, I still won't ever believe that you're a full on saint, because I always feel like there's always that wiggle room where people can be. I think that's what it is. It's like allowing people to be human and allowing, like, understanding the human experience and not crucifying people for it. I think that has been a huge journey for me, just as in a relationship kind of way. I don't know if that answers your question, but.
Yes, I think that that's such a good answer. And I think that it's such an interesting point, because that's something that's shown up in my own relationship as well, yeah. You know, after mm-hmm, 10 years mm-hmm. and recognizing that things like I didn't believe my like Andrew, my husband Chris is like a very, very, very good man, yeah. good human. And yet I could not believe him when he would say things like, "You're beautiful," or I could not believe him when he's just like, "I see you and I love you." And I'm like, yeah, you love me now, but what if I did this thing? Or yeah. what if I did this? Or what if, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of my favorite things is to try to trap him. But he's also, in addition to being very good, he's highly intelligent. So he usually is able to get around my traps. But yeah, because I think that, like, for that intimacy, trust, and connection piece, if we're always holding back, it's really hard to just let go. And yeah, and then trusting somebody else to hold all of you and love all of you.
And so that's kind of been, you know, it all kind of comes back to, like, that ownership and that vulnerability that I feel like has been such a key to being able to identify what I like when it comes to pleasure, or even be able to feel like I deserve any kind of pleasure, is just like really looking at the mirror and being like, all right, girl, we gotta love ourselves if we want this in return. So yeah.
How have you seen, as you've been going through this journey and having a lot of, because you're learning a lot about yourself, how have you seen some of these lessons that you're learning in your sexual journey show up in other aspects of your life?
Yeah.
Are you showing up differently?
I think so. I think, again, I go straight to, like, the relationships in my life of times where I feel like I would have just been quiet. And I feel like I'm still trying to maneuver when to absorb and when to just say, like, no, this wasn't okay. And I'm still kind of figuring that piece out. But I think it's the same thing of just when I think of pleasure, you know, I think of the opposite of is like pain. And so, like, I'm just trying to listen to my body. And if something gives me pause or gives me like a strong, like, visceral, like, oh, I don't like that at all, really just trying to dissect, okay, why don't I like that? Why doesn't that feel good? And so I think that kind of translates the same. I've been just trying to do that every time I come across that feeling of ick. And because, you know, it's just like listening to your body and listening to your emotions. So,
yeah, it's something that we're kind of, I feel like, in many ways in our culture, trained out of. Like, we're trained only to trust our thoughts or what we're thinking. And we're very logic oriented, and emotions are kind of not
right.
We're taught not to trust our emotions. But it's the emotions and the things that are stored in our body that, like, our body tells the truth in many ways, and we have to be able to slow down to be able to listen and be in tune enough to be able to understand, like, hey, what is this trying to tell me? And there's things that come up all the time. And I've said this before, but you know, just in my own journey, I've listened to, like, probably thousands and thousands of podcasts on sex. And there's times where I come across, I hear a topic or a conversation or something, and something in my body goes, oh, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, what's that about? You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean I have to like that thing or agree with the thing or whatever, but it does serve, as just that, like, little nudge to explore what's behind that. And is it something that I still need to hold on to, or is it something I can let go of now? Well, Adriana, it has been an absolute joy to hear your story about claiming pleasure through education and vulnerability. Those are two really big, sometimes tough things to access, both within ourselves and then also within some of the systems we have out there. So I really appreciate you sharing your story. If people wanted to connect with you online, how can they do that?
I really just have Instagram. And so my Instagram is Adriana_D'Amelio_NP for nurse practitioner. I'm pretty active on that. And then if you are in the Central Florida area, I'm still new to this community. I've been here about 3 months, but we've been really looking into getting into like some of the more community events. I would love to connect with some more local people through Instagram. Yeah.
Well, Florida's very lucky to have you, and I really appreciate you coming and chatting with me today about your story, talking about the importance of vulnerability and education, and I look forward to chatting with you next time. Bye, Adriana. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this story, I hope you'll subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Please share it with a friend to keep the conversation going and leave a review. That would be super helpful. We invite you to follow us on Instagram at Life Turned On Podcast. And if you have a story you'd like to share, please email us at stories@lifeturnedonpodcast.com. And the next time you're looking for lingerie or sexual wellness products, I hope you'll consider shopping at lingerboutique.com so we can continue to normalize rest and pleasure together.